You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched. You've struggled. You've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered. You've fought. You've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God. Mind control. The last days. Higher dimensions. Unity. The power of faith. Discovering the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that He will hide us under His feathers, and under His wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan Devon is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan Devon.
You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Devon. This program is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries, and you can find us at www.bridemovement.com. Well, folks, it's been now the second week since I've been back from Australia. Australia was just spectacular. A lot of you had wanted to listen to what happened when I was in Australia, some of the messages I spoke, and so on and so forth. Like I said last week in the intro, they are working on putting together a DVD of the conference, and I'm going to get a bunch over here to the States and make them available on the website. So look forward to that. Man, we just had a great time over there. And by the way, it looks like I'll be going back next year around the same time for their conference next year. So I did get the invitation back. That was really nice. As far as what's going on over here, man, when I got back, it was just busy. I got slammed, folks, last week. I was slammed. Oh my goodness. I'm just glad I made it through. But we are expanding nonetheless. And I'm finding different ways. You know, I thank you for all of you that are reaching out and saying, hey, I'm available to help. And this is how I can help. You know, some of you are actually being brought on board to help in various ways and take some of the load off of my shoulders as far as getting things done. I do have to develop ways to let people take things off of my shoulders as everything is totally decentralized and the people that are helping me are in different parts of the world. But I appreciate it nonetheless. And for those of you that, you know, you're making yourself available, say, you know, I want to get on board. I want to help. I just don't know how. Well, just keep tracking with us if, you know, we're not able to open anything up for you right away because, you know, frankly, in the future, we're going to continue expanding and things are going to open up. And as we develop systems for bringing people on board with what we're doing over the internet and otherwise, you know, that's when you're going to have an opportunity to step up. And the best way to get involved right now, at least in a way that's more official than just listening to this podcast and following us that way, is to join one of our discipleship groups. Now, discipleship has been an ongoing agenda through Bride Ministries, and I actually am still teaching all four classes. This is the first round I'm actually teaching the spiritual warfare class. I spent a lot of this year developing various packets and doing it in different rounds, but now that all four series have been created, which are Grace, In Christ, the kingdom and then finally spiritual warfare, we're going to begin to branch out, make as many classes available over time as there is interest. And I plan to actually let the people that have finished the classes volunteer to teach the classes so that over time we can run the classes while I don't have to personally conduct them. Since the material is created, we are now working on the creation of teacher's manuals. So we're really excited about where the discipleship is going. As I mentioned last week, if you haven't already been involved in discipleship while it was completely free, I am sorry, but moving into the future, we will not be keeping it free. There's several reasons for that. One of them being that, you know, people will sign up, get in the class, take a spot, and then not show up after a few weeks. And, you know, that to me speaks, well, they're just not enough value there. They haven't valued the class enough to make time to be present in a spot that they've gotten. And now that we've moved into a situation where there is a bit of scarcity, meaning more interest than we actually have available seats for, we're going to open up an opportunity for the ministry to see some benefits from this, and as well as to make sure that those that are doing this are really committing to the process and do see enough value in this opportunity to, sow into it. So there will be a financial cost associated with the next round of discipleship for those of you that want to be involved, and it won't be overwhelming or anything like that, but it will help the ministry because that's where it's going to go. It's going to allow us to do more, help more people, build more of our projects, so on and so forth. And at the same time, hopefully those of you that do join, knowing that it's come at a small cost to you, will put more value in it and say, you know what, this is something that I am really going to make sure I'm participating in because it has cost me something small. And so that's the direction that that's going. We're going to be sending out emails to let you start signing up for the next round in another week or two. So look forward to that, all of you that are on the waiting list. This next round, I'm actually going to take off the restrictions. Last round, I said, you know, if you haven't already done one of the other three classes, you cannot sign up for spiritual warfare. That rule will no longer apply. It'll be a first come, first serve. You'll get an email. You'll be able to click a link. You'll pay the entrance fee for the class, and that will secure your seat in the class. And once the seats are filled, they're filled. It'll be a first come, first serve basis, and that's the way it's going to run in this next round. So that is discipleship. We're looking forward to getting that kicked off again in the month of January. Now, if you haven't gotten your hands on Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations, it is now available in paperback form on my website, www.bridemovement.com. You can go and order the paperback book on my website. You know, I had made it paperback a while ago, about a month and a half ago, and I sent an email out to my email list and it sold them out. And then I had to order more. And then I was very busy, and then Australia was coming up, and it was just so hectic trying to ship all my own books with all my other responsibilities. I just had to change systems, move everything over. Now I have someone else shipping my books for us, praise the Lord. And so with that in place, we have now opened up orders on the website for Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations. And so for all of you that have wanted to get your hands on that book in paperback form, but have been, you know, waiting and you're not on our email list or whatever else may be going on, that's available. Be sure to grab that. Oh, you know, it's extensive. It is extensive, but it's deep, and it is a ton of info on a lot of subjects leading up to the ultimate goal of the book, which is to explain God's kingdom and then how sheep nations fit into an eschatological context. So that's available. And guess what? Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions, and the Spirit Realm. That book I've been talking about for so long. You're all like, man, you've been talking about this for so long. When's it coming out, Dan? Well, guess what? It's out! Not as a print, but as an ebook. You can already get it. It's on the website, www.bridemovement.com. $10. You can get the ebook if you order it. It'll be sent right to your email. And in about 2 weeks or so, the print version will be appearing on the website as well. So look forward to that. It's coming. It's done. We have it. And it's just, you know, going to the printing press as far as the paperback form is concerned, the ebook, it's ready to go. And so we are very, very excited about that, which is why I'm going to be talking at a bit of length about some of the subjects I touch on and tackle in that book today. So really, really excited about that. www.bridemovement.com is where you can get a hold of it. I do want to give a couple other items, some lip service. One, Media Studio hasn't gone away. We are continuing to press on in this area, as I say every week. You know, we are going to be using some of the revelations and insights and just radical stories that we're getting for the big screen. You know, why not? I mean, this is stuff, it's so amazing, so radical. It might just sell some movie tickets. You know, and so we have huge plans to pivot off of all that the Lord is giving us and reach a much larger audience that otherwise wouldn't be interested with what all we are doing and getting and understanding. And so that is definitely going to happen. I've been saying for a while now, you know, most of our money, everything that we're raising, is going to survivors. Bride Ministries is committed to helping survivors of satanic ritual abuse and government-sponsored mind control projects heal and what I would call deprogram. And so we are putting together, you know, coaches that are capable of doing this ministry, that know how to deal with high-level stuff, have the authority in the spirit realm to get the job done. We are trying to create solutions. We have a three-phase plan to create solutions. One is to put together the team of DID coaches, which we are looking to expand and ultimately really expand as we build the DID coaching school to train people to do this work. Right now, I have taken several people and made them parts of some of the sessions that I do with those that have been willing and cooperative with having others sit in on their sessions to train them personally. We're trying every way possible to get this thing on the road, you know, get the show on the road and moving, get people trained and equipped, because man, the work is hefty. There is so much in the way of getting people deprogrammed at this point in history. It is amazing. People are hurting. People need help. People listen to this program. They're waking up. We have a waiting list of people that want help. We have no way to get to all of them right now, because not only do we have a shortage of coaches, but the coaches we do have are all booked out with all the people that they're already helping. I mean, this is just something that needs to, we need to expand the army. And so we have the agenda to establish the team of DID coaches and ultimately branch off into a DID facility where people are able to heal on location because their situations are so challenged where they are physically. They can't. And then in the future, we would like to build facilities around the world in different locations. And this is something that we are going to continue to press into as an organization. In addition to that, I want to remind you that we do have the desire to build this internet-based ministry service. It'll be a live service that will allow for live chat and web conferencing between those that listen immediately following the service as an attempt to create internet-based community around the things that we are tackling, which will include a lot of kingdom equipping for the internet-based ministry service. I mean, we're really going to make the goal of that to get people equipped for the work of the ministry. And so that is something that we really want to launch next year. And we're making headway. We are pushing into that, and we're going to be laying out the groundwork for how the website's going to be organized real soon. We're going to be looking at how to, you know, rent servers and get all of that squared away so that we can drive, you know, handle traffic there, and just all the mechanics of actually making it work. But once we get it, we're going to launch it, and we are just really looking forward to this. A lot of you guys, you write us, you say, there's no churches in our area, there's no community where I am. I get my church, I get my community, I get fed, it's all the internet. That's what God has for me right now. And you know, while I would never say that what we're doing can replace, it can't replace actual relationships with real people that are physical, where you are location-wise. Sometimes there are just circumstances that don't allow for that, or the people that you do have fellowship with just won't go there with you, and you are looking for that next level. Well, that's what we're trying to provide and cater to, not to so much compete with church and a local ministry. So that is all on the to-do list. In addition to, and I just want to give some lip service to this, you know, we've been really blessed with our listening audience. You guys, I mean, I'm just amazed. You guys really bless us financially. I mean, I'm like, wow, look at some of this gifts coming in. It's like people are just having their hearts open to what we're trying to do. And I'm like, it's coming together. We're really going to be able to execute this vision. You know, I'm talking about the vision every week. Every week, this is what we want to do. This is what we want to do. And you guys are stepping up to the plate and saying, you know what, Dan? We're going to believe God with you, and we're going to get on board and make it possible. Not only are you going to continue to help the survivors your organization has committed to helping, but you're going to do more, and you're going to branch off and continue to grow in many ways. I am just so excited. I want to say a personal thank you to everyone that's been jumping on board with us financially. Some of you guys have become monthly partners. I'm just amazed. Wow. Thank you. I'm just praising God. I'm just praising God. You know, the thing is, though, that ultimately I want to fund Bride and really the vision, because our vision is not limited to the nonprofit organization that we are using right now as Bride Ministries, with the profits of real business. I want to establish real businesses, partner with real businesses, collaborate with real businesses that will allow for actual capital that is produced to drive the vision apart from goodwill donations or in partnership with goodwill donations. So that, you know, especially once we get into the place where we are having extensive operating costs, facilities costs, payroll costs, things like that, that the 100% of everything that's actually donated can go to actual ministry as opposed to operations costs. That's really my goal. I want to run operations off of business profits. And so I'm believing God that doors are going to open in that area. And I don't know what kind of doors. I don't know what it'll look like completely in the end. But I have vision for it. Because I know that, the landscape over the next several years is going to change. Things are moving. I mean, things are changing rapidly. And so the Bible says, cast your bread upon many waters. And I just see so much wisdom in at least having vision for getting the vision produced through multiple facets and funding it in multiple ways. And so with that said, we're going to get into what I'm going to be talking about. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. And We're going to get into it today. Folks, I'm going to be honest. I don't have a guest. No guest for you today. Why not? Well, you know, they say a failure to plan is a plan to fail. Not that I planned to fail, but I definitely failed to plan a guest. And so, looks like you're stuck with me today. What are we going to talk about? I don't know, really. I just decided that today I'm going to do something that I really don't typically do, and that's just open my mouth and talk. You know, part of the reason why I don't usually do this is because I'm kind of nervous what might come out of my own mouth. I might say something that really incriminates me or makes me sound like I'm really far out there. Not like I'm not already out there all the time, but usually I create my own parameters. Like, this is only how far out there I'm going to go today. And I have, like, notes, you know. Today I don't even have notes. But, you know, I just felt like I was... You know, here, as I was here, praying, like, God, what am I supposed to do today about this program? Obviously, I have no guest. I have no plan. I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. And God was like, dude, just open your mouth and talk today. I'm like, yeah, that's so easy. It requires no planning, no prep, nothing. And so I jumped out of prayer and just turned on my microphone, and now I'm talking to you. But I do have a lot to say, as some of you may know, about a lot of things. And one of the things that I really do need to talk to you about is the fact that I just, well, made the ebook version of Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions, and the Spirit Realm available. Yep, it's available. You can buy it at www.bridemovement.com. Now, I've been talking this book up for a while now. I mean, I keep on referencing it in different interviews. I'm talking like, yeah, this book's coming out, and I'm going to release this book, and talking all about dimensions and other planes and getting into that quantum physics side of it, as well as the spiritual side of it, which is really the crux, right? I'm trying to communicate how we as believers can be more effective in our faith. And I am using the framework of higher dimensions and that whole area of study to do it. And so the physical copies, the paperback version, will probably be available in about 2 weeks. And for those of you that are on our email list, you'll be able to pre-order some of those. We'll be sending out an email for that soon. But for those of you that are not, you know, you'll be able to get the ebook on our website. In a couple weeks, you'll be able to get the paperback on our website, and it'll be going live everywhere else. And so, actually, you know, you may even have time to order it before the end of the year. You know, when we get into the concept of higher dimensions, a lot of people get really nervous. And the reason why people get nervous is because, well, the Bible doesn't use the word dimension. So it must be something strange, weird, and new age if it's not actually in the Bible. My contention with that is that dimensions are all over the Bible. They just don't call them dimensions. What the Bible uses is a term that I dialogue about in my book. It's called heavenly places, or just heaven, or heavens. It uses these kinds of terminologies repeatedly, and the reason why is because, well, that's how people were able to understand it when these texts were being written. Now in our new lingo, we have words like dimensions, and we've extrapolated upon what that means in mathematical and scientific terms, but essentially, we're not introducing anything new age or weird, spooky here. We're simply saying this is how creation was ordered. And I did a show a while back called Dimensions of Creation and the Spiritual Universe. I'm actually just going to run through a brief recap of that at this time because, you know, I'm going to spend this show, I think, you know, just opening my mouth to introduce some of the things I'm going to be talking about in this book and ultimately how it relates back to some of the things that we're trying to do at Bride Ministries and just overall, you know, because I have a lot of vision, folks. My vision, if you haven't read it recently, is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations, right? But you see, in order to do a sheep nation, well, how do you define sheep nation, Daniel? Well, I say a sheep nation will be an entire geography that has been set apart and influenced heavily by the kingdom of God reigning in and through the hearts of men. Right? It's a geography that comes under heavy influence. So what I believe is coming here is that there is going to be a lot of redrawing of boundary lines, so to speak. There's a lot of things coming in the last days I don't think people are really talking about. And the thing is, when you're talking about geographic redemption, you know, in the book of Second Chronicles, it says that if we come before the Lord and repent and turn from our wicked ways, he will come and he'll heal our land. You know, land being significant of geographic space. I mean, this idea that God can redeem a geography, well, that's been proven true, not only in the Bible, because we actually see it in like the case of the land of Goshen, but, you know, it seems to be the thrust of what God wants to do. God just doesn't want to heal your life, right? Let's expand it. If he heals your life, then he wants to heal the lives of those in your family. And then when he heals the lives of those in your family, he wants to influence your community. And once he's influenced your community, he's actually influencing a geography. See, it's just a natural outflow of the influence of God moving from one level of influence to the next. If God's kingdom is expanding, geographies ultimately are being redeemed. That's the whole thing. It's not like, oh, well, once you talk about geography, you're way off base there, off kilter. God doesn't want to do that. Really, he doesn't. So he doesn't want people to be saved and living whole and healthy lives in the area where you live. He just wants you there all by yourself, healed and whole by yourself. I mean, it's the breakdowns in logic sometimes amaze me. And so the natural outflow of real large-scale influence is redemption of geographies for the purposes of God. And I believe that with the arising of a beast system, this is going to prove crucial to the plans of God in the last days as his people confront those things that are coming upon the earth. Daniel, what about the rapture? Sorry, I don't believe that there's a pre-trib rapture. If you want to know why, grab my book, Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations. And, you know, once you get through that, then we can talk about all of the arguments that you have left. But the thing is, I really see this whole agenda, right? But the thing is, if we talk about, like, say, a geography, well, there are lots of things called territorial spirits. Territorial spirits, right? And so how do you deal with that when you get to that level of influence? Well, in order to deal with the territorial spirit, you actually have to realize that geography is being engaged by powers that do not manifest on the physical plane. So what plane are they manifesting in? Well, they're manifesting on a spiritual plane or from a higher dimension. And now we have just opened up the concept of dimension and heavenly places into very practical real-world context dealing with my vision, which is why I have realized that unless I'm willing to go to this level where I'm just, you know, engaging heavenly places and engaging the spirits there, which, I mean, basically boils down and begins at just demons and basic one-on-one deliverance and extends into deliverance of geographies from the powers that rule over them. You know, one of the things that David Yonggi Cho did in South Korea before they got to this huge church that was almost a million people large is they established Prayer Mountain and prayed night and day, 24 hours, constantly around the clock to bind the strong man over that region. God had given him the authority to pioneer that work, and in partnership with God's kingdom, they were able to do that. Other people without that kind of assignment and mantle on their lives have tried to do that and reproduce that in other areas of the world. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work out if that mantle is not given to you from God to walk in that level of, you know, I will call it kingdom authority. The idea is this is something. There is something real behind this conversation. And so I realized, you know, I have to go there. I have to get into this, the heavenly places, understanding how to engage the powers of darkness, large scale, small scale, whatever have you. And this cracked open a whole thing because what I began to realize is that, well, the spirit realm is extremely complex. It's not so simple. It's actually multi-layered, multifaceted. Believe it or not, it's more complicated than Earth. Is the heavens. And so I said, well, you know, let me write a book about it. So I want to rehash some of the things that I disclosed in that talk I did on, you know, dimensions of creation and spiritual universe, and then get into a reminder. These are some of the things I've talked about in other programs, just to give you an idea of some of the concepts that go into the underlying conversation of this book, Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions, and the Spirit Realm. So, you know, beginning in in the book of Genesis, what you see is that God created the heavens and the earth. And that word heavens, that word heavens is plural. That means that there was more than one heaven that was created. As a matter of fact, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there were three heavens because Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not, such a man knows, was caught up into the third heaven. Paradise. So with that language, we know that if there is a third heaven, there must also be a second and a first. And if we find paradise in the third heaven, and we'll get more into that, but you know, you're really dealing with the heaven of heavens or God's realm. And so here's the thing, right? In the book of Genesis, we find that God created the heavens, plural, and the earth. And then we see that darkness was upon the face of the earth. The Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. In Genesis 1:3-5, It reads, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Now, that's Genesis 1:3-5, right? And the thing is that there was light on the first day. That's clear, right? So most people just assume, well, yeah, God created the planet Earth. And then he created a sun. And then he made the earth spin around the sun, and that created day and night, the first day, right? Well, except for one problem. In Genesis 1, verse 14, it begins, and it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day." So there's this problem that you run into with that philosophy, right? Okay, so God must have created the sun on day one because the earth obviously experienced day and night and there was light. One problem. The sun was clearly created on day four. He made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that's the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, that's the moon. So he created the sun and the moon on day four, but there was light on day one. So my question is, why? Why does that happen? Why? How does that even make sense? How was there day and night without a sun? You know, and sometimes we get so engrossed in our assumptions and thinking based on the way we were trained to think that we can no longer take scripture at face value. We instead make assumptions upon what scripture must have meant to say because that's how it works. But is it? You know, and so I asked the question, well, what's going on? And this one I banged my head over for a while until I figured out. But what I realized as I began to pound this one out is that there are many higher dimensions, and the three-dimensional world in which we live is actually set on top of what I would call a spiritual template. In other words, you could think about it like a tower. See, you don't just put the facing on the tower with the windows in it. First, you have to build the steel structures that will support the tower. You have to drive them in, right? So you have to create a frame in order to hang the facing of a building on top of. And essentially, that's what we see in the creation account. It's not that God created the physical first. He didn't. As a matter of fact, he created the spiritual first, and then hung the physical world on top of it. How do I know? Well, I did some word studies, and I dug up some really, really interesting stuff, right? So, again, going back to 1:1, we realize that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created multiple heavens. There's your spirit realm in a general sense, right? Then he focuses in on this planet he called Earth. And so, in Genesis 1:2, we see the earth was without form, void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And what I realized as I began to dive into this verse and then into the verses following, that there is not a single element of what I was reading that required a physical or concrete explanation. In other words, nothing requires a physical manifestation. Every element can be entirely in the spirit and still be properly understood. Case in point. And the earth was without form. Well, the word translated earth is the Hebrew word eretz. That can refer to the physical earth or a spiritual earth. It doesn't matter. The planet's the planet. And what we're going to learn is that essentially everything in the cosmos is set atop a spiritual template and has a physical manifestation reflecting that fact. And so, you know, the name of the planet simply is the name of the planet. The next major word is without form. That is translated from the Hebrew word tohu and means formless, confusion, unreality, emptiness, and chaos. So literally, we are told that the earth was in a state of unreality. Now, many theologians, they talk about tohu vabohu, which is formless and void in the Hebrew, and they basically stop at the revelation that God created something out of nothing. Okay, that's good. But realistically, what we're looking at is that the word means formless, confusion, unreality, emptiness, and chaos. The earth was in a state of unreality. There was no solidarity to it. It was in a state of confusion. In my opinion, this is because it was a spiritual template. See, God is... he has a spiritual template there and begins to form the spiritual template. The next word, void, is translated from bohu. It means emptiness, void, or waste. The clear intent is to show how empty the unreality of earth was. But God begins to work with it. Why? Because he's beginning to mold not the physical realm, but the spiritual realm underneath or behind or layered, behind the physical realm. And that's where he begins. As a matter of fact, the whole principle all over scripture and even in the occult world is this idea that first it is spirit, then it is natural. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, may your kingdom come and your will be done as in heaven, so in earth. That's the book of Luke. You know, occult writings, the tablets of Thoth, for instance, they say, as above, so below. It's this idea of the spirit first, then the natural, right? So hence, why would God do creation any different than everything else? It all goes back to spirit. It begins in spirit, it ends in natural. So here we see that, you know, you have tohu vabohu. The earth was in a state of unreality. God begins to form this. It's a spiritual planet. And then we see the word darkness, right? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And that word darkness is from the Hebrew word chesek, and it means darkness, obscurity, or secret place. Now, the most interesting thing about this word is its application in other passages. For instance, 2 Samuel 22:29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Chesek, right? So how do we have personal darkness? Darkness in our hearts, darkness in our minds. This is spiritual darkness. Job 17:13. If I wait, the grave is my house. I have made my bed in the darkness. Chesek, again, the same thing. We're talking about death here. We're not talking about nighttime. We're talking about death. What kind of darkness accompanies death? That's spiritual darkness. Again, Psalm 107:14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Psalm 107:14. Again, there's this interplay, right? Chesek, this darkness is associated with the shadow of death. So there is a darkness that is a spiritual darkness, and it is the spiritual darkness that is present on the planet. Go figure, right? We're talking about a spiritual earth, and there it is, spiritual darkness, right? So we continue in that same passage, and we come into the next word, which is the word deep, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the deep, right? And that word deep is translated from the Hebrew word tahom, which means deep or, and catch this one, abyss. Abyss? Really? The abyss? You know, and this is just, the language is so fantastic. When you begin to do the word studies, you begin to just make connections like crazy. It's just like, wow, I didn't know that this is what it was saying. So other definitions of Tehaum include primeval ocean and, watch this, grave. Go figure. You know, interesting, right? In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, it says at the great white throne judgment that death and hell gave up the dead which were in them, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. What dead are in the sea, you know? Whoa! What is our Bible really trying to tell us? See, there's so much. We don't even crack it open, right? So here we are talking about this, you know, Genesis to creation story. What we're looking at is a situation where God is creating a spiritual template. And so we run into Tehaum, this primordial sea. Now this is actually the same force that destroyed the earth in the days of Noah, and throughout scripture, something that is personified. It's not a static, just water. The deep actually has a voice and hands. Check this out. Habakkuk 3:10. The mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The deep is Tehaum. Tehaum uttered his voice, right? So there we see, of course, all of our major theologians go, allegory. Well, Dan Duvall says, yeah, right. This is spiritual stuff. This is real. Tehaum is highly significant in scripture. The Bible says Genesis 7:11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the Tehaum broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. So here, the deep is first spiritual, although it has power in the physical realm. So you see that there's the deep, right? And then, of course, there's the reference to the waters in that passage in Genesis 1:2, the waters. The Spirit of the Lord hovering over the waters. The word water is translated from the word mayim, which straightforwardly means water. And you might be thinking, aha, Daniel, therefore you must be wrong. Water, I drink water. Water is definitely physical. If the earth was completely spiritual, the whole thing was spiritual, then it wouldn't make any sense because there's water there. Well, let's just stop and pause for a minute, because Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 7:17, it says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There is a thing called spiritual water. God is the source of living waters, and that God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, there is no imposition that water must be physical. There is such a thing as spiritual water. And so for that reason, we see that water is spiritual, the deep, that's spiritual, tohu vabohu, spiritual again, describing the state of the earth as a spiritual element, and God is forming it, right? And then we get to the first day, and the pattern just continues. The pattern just continues. God said, let there be light. You know, that word light, just like darkness, is the same word that you find throughout passages dealing with spiritual light. Check out Job 18:5. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out. Really, is God going to blow the candle of their lamp out and make them go to sleep in darkness because he doesn't like them having a nightlight? This is ridiculous. This is spiritual light. Job 33:28 says, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. His life shall see the light. Candlestick? Come on now. This is spiritual light. Aor. That's the Hebrew word translated light. So God opens up aor into the creation. And aor, which is spiritual light, is what is defining day and night. Now, that one still, I haven't figured it out yet. But it's really bizarre, right? We continue into the second day. Guess what? The pattern still continues. God says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And evening and morning were the first day. Now, on the second day of creation, you see that God is creating this firmament. What does firmament mean? Simply put, it means a space or a gap. It's a space, right? And God used the spiritual waters that were present to set boundaries on the universe. In other words, we start at Earth, right? And then we expand out. And then we get to the boundaries of the universe. And I don't know what the boundaries of the universe are because I don't know the shape of the universe. I happen to think, and this is, I can't prove this, but I actually think that the universe is somehow set up so that no matter where you are in the universe, you are at the center of the universe. I'm just going to stop there. You know, the idea, though, is that the waters were used to define the boundaries. And so there's this gap. And that gap, that firmament, is ultimately what God used to hang all the stars and the planets of the cosmos. And so instead of putting the stars and the planets of the cosmos right away, what he did was he used the waters to create this firmament. He created the template, right? So we have the template of planet Earth in the spirit realm. Then we create the template of the cosmos in the spirit realm. And we have then the second day. On the third day, we find a transition. And the reason why is because the Bible says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. See, this is the first time there's dry land. That is when God moves in to begin hanging this physical creation on top of the spiritual template. And so he hangs the earth, right? And then he begins to create it, and the fauna and the life and the plants and everything. And then he gets to the animals, and ultimately on day six he gets to man, so on and so forth. So there's this progression there. But the key point is, why do we see light being created on day one while the sun, moon, and stars don't exist until day four? Well, the answer is because God created a spiritual template for the universe first and hung the physical universe on top of it and then put the sun and moon where they belonged on that template. So the Bible says on day four, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven. Further on, he goes in and he makes two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. This is day four. Day four. And so there's this idea, right, that you have, and this is really important when you get into spiritual things. You have Earth that's physical, but behind the physical Earth, there is a spiritual representation of everything on the planet. But see, when you go just a few layers behind the physical, that you run into the spiritual realm where not everything is a perfect mirror. In other words, I may have a house sitting in an area on the physical earth, but in the spiritual earth, that may be a factory for demonic powers on top of a ancient burial site for occult groups. And, you know, and so people wonder why they have all kinds of poltergeist activity when they build their house on an Indian burial ground. See, what that is, that's when the physical earth, you know, gets into conflict with what's going on the spiritual earth, which is the template upon which the physical earth is hung. And we don't always realize that what we do in the natural is going to be influenced by what's already existing in the spiritual. Now, this is just higher dimensions. And I mean, just the most basic thing, right? If you build your house on an Indian burial ground, I can't tell you how, I mean, ghost hunters, you know, they're always going, why are you in my house? Why are we investigating poltergeist activity and ghosts and weird things and UFOs showing up? Well, we built it on an Indian burial ground. You know, why do they still build houses on Indian burial grounds? I don't get it. You know, it's like eventually someone's going to figure it out and say, you know, maybe that's a knucklehead move to make. The Indian burial ground, that's probably a spiritual area that's going to cause conflict with the lifestyle I'd like to have for me and my kids. Maybe I'll build my house a few meters away from the Indian burial ground. See, we're a bunch of knuckleheads. And then we say we're crazy, right? You have things being thrown around your house, cabinets opening up, knives being flung by invisible powers. And oh, I just must be crazy. Maybe I should get on some meds. Maybe that'll make the cabinet stop slamming and the knives stop flying. No, the whole house and geography needs deliverance from the power of Jesus Christ is what needs to happen. But, you know, that's the disconnect, right? And even Christians, you know, we get so confused when spiritual activity begins to take place. What we don't realize is that we're living surrounded by it because it's layered on top of us. Layered on top of us. And we don't understand because we read into the Bible ridiculous conclusions. God must have created the sun on day one because there was light. Even though the Bible says that it was created on day four, what God meant to say was the sun was there on day one. You see, and so we get these breakdowns in logic. Makes no sense. Then we use that breakdown in logic to impose our misunderstanding on other people that really do get what's going on and suffer from problems that could be fixed spiritually if only the Christians stopped being a bunch of knuckleheads and got over themselves and their bad theology. It's just bad theology is what it is. So we have a situation where the earth is, it's an interplay between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And you know what God calls it? He calls that the first heaven, right? Because the creation is actually layered into various heavens. You have first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. And so the conversation on higher dimensions, parallel dimensions, and the spirit realm only begins with the creation of the planet, but actually extends into the creation of the, you know, beyond the cosmos, the higher dimensions. And so in order to get into that conversation, again, we go back to Genesis 1:1, like I was saying before, and we say, you know, there is this idea that God formed, created, fashioned the heavens, plural, and the earth. So I like to think about it like a ladder. If you take the first step, you are on a lower plane. When you take another step up, you are going to a middle plane. And when you get to the third step of the ladder, which is the higher step, you are on the higher plane, right? And so there are different planes in the spirit realm that exist. And the higher you go, the more authority that realm will have. And so the Bible breaks up the three main realms into the three heavens, which are the third heaven, the second heaven, and, of course, the first heaven. So the Bible says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and this man, whether in the body or away from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard utterances beyond the power of man to put into words, which is not permitted to utter. The third heaven is the location of paradise. It's where Paul heard languages so beautiful it was impossible to describe them with words. This is the place that most people think about when they think of heaven. When I die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For you that don't believe in Jesus, I'm sorry, the Bible has something different for you. For those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, we're promised eternal life. And that eternal life is going to begin in a place that's now called the third heaven. Why do I say begin? Because as Jesus returns, there's a merging of realms. But I'm not going to get into that so much today, you know. Well, maybe I will. You know, the whole thing about the return of Christ, he's not just coming to, you know, like hang out. The Bible says the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ in Revelation 11:15. Jesus is coming to take over the earth and ultimately to merge the realm of earth with the realm of heaven and restore balance that was lost because when Adam sinned, heaven and earth came out of alignment, but Jesus Christ has come first to allow for spiritual alignment to take place through the redemption of individual men and women in this age. But when the age comes to consummation, God is going to bring earth back into alignment with heaven, and the realms are going to be married. You see, God calls, oh man, marrying the realms, because man man is tied to the earth. So as God comes to marry his people, which are tied to the earth in come into that union with us, he is going to marry heaven and earth. And of course, that is going to be at his second coming, which is why all the bridal themes associated with both the church and the second coming. It's all about this wedding, you know. As a matter of fact, you see the reference that in the book of Revelation to the wedding supper of the Lamb, you know, this great event that's coming, that I believe is articulated in Isaiah 25 when it says God will make a feast of the wine on the lees and all these other wonderful things, you know. It's beautiful, right? So there's this whole theme of marriage, and God is marrying his people. He's also marrying the realms through his people. Wow. Because they've been brought out of alignment through sin. So though by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You know, Adam's sin, he caused death to reign, but in Christ life reigns. And God is going to infuse this realm that is just encumbered by death with his life as he marries the realms at his second coming. It's going to be spectacular. Something to look forward to. Something that I believe the church in this hour is going to be paving the way for. So anyway, with that said, we see that the third heaven is its realm, and a realm of paradise. And so when we get that, we understand why we see that realm portrayed throughout Scripture. I mean, like Revelation 4, it tells us all about what goes on there. John goes up and is caught up in the Spirit, and he sees a throne set in heaven. He sees God on the throne. He sees the one who sits on the throne, which is God. He looks like jasper and sardine stone, and a rainbow round about the throne, a sight like unto emerald. You know, there's 24 elders that are there that he sees. They're clothed in white raiments. They have crowns on their head. Everything's worshiping God. He sees the four living creatures. You know, we see pictures in Isaiah of the third heaven as well, where the seraphim, it came from that area. It has the six wings, two to cover its face, two to cover its feet. You know, they worship God all day. He takes the coal from the fire and touches it to Isaiah's lips and makes him clean. This is kind of a picture of Isaiah's commissioning as a prophet. The idea is that this is a very real realm that is portrayed in the Bible on numerous occasions. Very real events happen there, but they're not defined by 3D land logic. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God is outside of time. He knows the end from the beginning. The realm of heaven is characterized by outside of time concepts. As a matter of fact, events in heaven are not measured chronologically so much as sequentially. And sequence doesn't require time. Sometimes it can just require season. You know, everything in heaven is stacked and it's unpacked onto our chronology. This is kind of some of the interplay you see between heaven and earth, you know. What does this mean? What are you talking about, Daniel? Okay, well, you just wasted 10 years of your life, and now you turn to God. And you're like, God, I'm 10 years behind. How can I ever catch up with what you called me to do? Well, you know what? God can redeem the time, because everything he called you to do in heaven is stacked, and it's stacked according to season. And so instead of unpacking the seasons that will take you to where you're supposed to be in 15 years, he can turn around, accelerate things, and unpack the same experiences and seasons into your life in 5 years that could have taken 15 years and return you to the place you should have been, even though you wasted 10 years of your life, because he is able to turn the tables and redeem everything in your life. And he is not bound by the limitations of natural time or chronologies in doing that. So God's very redemptive purpose is revealed in how things are unpacked in the heavenly realms and into the earth. Praise God for that, because some of you are listening to me thinking, How can I ever catch up with where I'm supposed to be? I did waste 10, 20, 30 years of my life doing nonsense like a knucklehead. So, you know what? Praise God for the fact that he is not bound by time and neither is his realm. And when you are truly interfacing with his realm, which is what it means to be a kingdom... Man, I am just going off today. It is what it means to be a kingdom citizen. That's when you really begin to realize, wow, my ministry can transcend time and space because my God does. Go figure. I remember the first time God told me, Daniel, your ministry is going to transcend time and space. I was like blown out of the water. I'm like, what? What does that even mean? Now in my deliverance ministry, I'm doing quantum entanglements. I'm not going to go there today. But the thing is, there's this power with God that's so redemptive in every way. And if you've wasted your life, there's good news for you because God is not bound by your failure to get you where you're supposed to be. If you are faithful, he is going to do what he promised. And, you know, okay, so we continue, right? We're talking about the realm of God, the third heaven. This is like an overarching realm. It holds authority over everything beneath it. God is the God Most High. And, you know, when we get down then and we begin to talk about, well, if that's the third heaven, then what is the second heaven? Well, the second heaven is the realms of the spirit where the evil spirits are, where the devil has established various strongholds and arrangements for himself. You know, this includes, I believe, the realm of outer space and other things. And so the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against despotisms. This is amplified, by the way. Powers against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness. Let me tell you where it says these all exist. It says in the heavenly supernatural sphere, the heavenly places in the New King James Version, or just the... in the heaven. I mean, but the idea is that the third heaven is the realm of God. The second heaven is the rest of the spirit realm where all the evil spirits are and occupy territory. And so what you see going on there is this descending power structure. God's on high, but you have the devil constantly trying to figure out a way to work his way up into God's space. He's trying to backdoor everything every way he can. And ultimately, he wants to beat God at his own game and take the throne. He thinks he's going to win. Well, the second heaven is really pictured in the book of Daniel as well, where we see that the angel that was sent to communicate certain things to Daniel was held up by the prince of Persia until Michael the archangel came to help him. Daniel went through a 21-day fast during this heavenly war, and then at the end of his fast, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and began to tell him all this stuff. Well, that prince of Persia was not a physical man. It was a principality or a heavenly prince. Probably the same prince that's over the area of Iran right now. Who knows? But the idea is that there is this sphere where the evil spirits, powers of darkness, high-level, high-ranking spirits, they all exist very literally, but it's in this realm of the spirit. And so you have that clearly articulated in the Bible. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 10, it says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So in other words, God intends the church to be a declaration of God's wisdom to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You know what they're getting from most of the people in the church right now, though? A good laugh. Because, well, we're a bunch of jokers. They got our number. They got your number. Don't act like the devil doesn't have your number. You know, I get so many emails like, man, the devil's kicking my butt that way. The devil's kicking my butt that way. The devil's kicking my butt that way. I mean, the Christians are getting the floor mopped with us. These people, they are revealing the wisdom of Satan to the church. And we're frowning pretty big about it. God didn't design this to be the way it works. As a matter of fact, he said to the intent that now to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, we reveal the wisdom of God to them because we walk in the power and authority of his kingdom. They're supposed to be the ones with the frowns on their faces based on the walk that you engage with God. Now, think about that for a minute. Think about the day when the demons start running from you because they are scared of what they're going to have to deal with the moment you open your mouth. Now, that's the company of people that I'm trying to get in touch with. That's the company of people I'm trying to talk to. Now, I don't have time for all this nonsense anymore. I'm getting kind of tired of trying to make people happy and trying to make Christians comfortable around me. Like, yeah, you know, I'll just make you happy by being very nice and quiet about everything God has shown me. Like, I'm beginning to get to the point, I'm only a little bit past that. I'm just going to be real. Especially when I'm on my own program. And if you get, you know, a little if by that, you're like, man, this guy's wacky. I don't care. God has something bigger than my credibility on the line here. And, you know, I'm just really concerned with being real to the point that people get inspired and say, you know what, this is far out stuff, but man, I want that power. I want that relationship with God. I want that intimacy that allows me to make the principalities and powers sweat. I'm supposed to reveal the wisdom of God to them with my life. They should be the ones getting their teeth kicked in, not me. That should be your attitude. It's mine. And believe me, folks, we have a great time. You know, we collapse realms. We engage principalities on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, I severed somebody from the principality, the queen of heaven, from the backseat of a moving vehicle while they were in the passenger seat. In 10 minutes. That's the level that we kind of gone to in this ministry. You know, I mean, this is the kind of deliverance that could take someone else hours if they don't know what they're doing. But, you know, we're making a mockery now. I mean, that might be strong words, but really, it is. I mean, we're collapsing structures in the heavens. We're setting fire to war rooms in the heavens all the time. I mean, goodness gracious. There's so many things that, you know, this is something. Who said that man's ministry was intended to be limited to the earth? You know, in the book of Enoch, and of course this is, for some people, very sketchy area, but I'm just going to reference it for a moment because, you know, there's some relevant things in here. The watchers actually go to Enoch to ask him to intercede to God on their behalf that maybe God would forgive them. Enoch's ministry transcended humanity. But God said that we have been made heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, kings and priests unto God. You know, our ministry transcends humanity. We're called priests because priests minister to God. Priests minister to God. So we've just usurped the entire spirit realm. God said, I've called you so high, you're going to minister to me personally. That's what you've been designed for. And of course, Christians, right? What do? We waste time. We don't even spend time in prayer. Your calling is a priest to minister unto God. What are you wasting your time with? How do people minister to God? You know, every time I bring that one up, you're like, oh, but how do you minister to God? Worship him. There, start there. Just worship him. Worship. The Father is now seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Where do I worship God? Well, you worship him in heavenly places where you are. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6, we have been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's up there where he is in his realm. The reason why God is causing you to reveal his wisdom to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places is because your existence has transcended their realm. If we only knew what we were working with. The realm of the third heaven is above that of the second, and you have transcended through it. so that when you are fully charged and engaged by God on that realm, He is able to move through you in the lower realms while you are praying with your mouth and doing the things that He has called you to do, like Daniel, which include fasting, right, that caused the war in heaven, and reveal His wisdom by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. There is a ministry that transcends humanity and earth realm. Oh, and of course, you know, why are we so stuck on this 3D thinking? I'm getting frustrated. You know, there's so much that needs to be communicated about what God is intending to do in these last days. There really is. You know, there's a lot of people walking around in fear all the time. Fear this, fear that. You know, everything's going to collapse. And I need to hide into a cave. Praise the Lord for the pre-trib rapture. You know, all this. And it's like, you know, what we miss is the kingdom. See, the devil is intent on unveiling the realms of the second heaven into the earth in order to bring in a supernatural kingdom that he supposes will allow him to overtake the earth and ultimately beat God. But in resistance and confrontation with that, God has positioned his people in the earth to interface with a realm higher than the one the whole new world order is working overtime to bring in order to bring in his realm, God's realm. He designed us to bring his realm into the earth by faith to confront the powers of darkness. The end times is a confrontation of realms and a confrontation of kingdoms. And the centerfold, the centerpiece of the battle is the planet called Earth, which will determine all future for all of the cosmos. Because you know what? The earth is tied to heaven and man is tied to the earth. And therefore, the conflict for the heavens is over man. Oh. Which is why you're kind of important. Okay. So anyway, we got the third heaven, right? This is the realm of God. We got the second heaven. That's the realm of the spirit. Good and bad goes on there. This would include the layers behind the earth that exists as a spiritual template upon which the planet is hung. But then there is the first heaven, which is really all that's contained by the atmosphere and the air we breathe. The Bible says in the book of Zephaniah, you know, I will consume the fowls of the heavens, of the heaven. And where do the birds fly? That's the whole idea. Where do the birds fly? Well, the birds fly in the sky above your head. If you've ever had a bird poop on you on the beach or anywhere else inconvenient, maybe on your first date, you know that birds fly in the sky. So what are we talking about with the heaven that the fowls fly in? That's the air we breathe, the first heaven. So we have the first heaven, which is the earth and earth's atmosphere, everything that contains it. The second heaven, which is the spiritual realms that are right behind earth and above earth, ascending up to the point where there is a juncture and you enter third heaven space, wherein there is paradise. And the existence of the Christian, according to Ephesians 2:6, which says we have been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places, is as a transdimensional entity, meaning we not only exist in our physical bodies in the earth, but also extend into heavenly places where we exist as, well, a citizen in heaven. As a matter of fact, the book of Philippians says, "For we are citizens in heaven, from which we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And those are the people that are alive on earth, right? And these are all concepts. I mean, I get into it. I really break this open in my book, Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions, and the Spirit Realm, which, by the way, is now available. You can buy it for $10 at my website in ebook form. And if you want to print, you know, well, those will be real soon. Just right behind it. Okay, but what I'm saying is, you know, how do you wait for God to return from heaven while you are still alive on the earth? It's because you're there. Believers in Christ take heaven with them wherever we go. We're integrally tied. We're integrally connected. There is a total interface designed to exist between heaven and earth through us. We are walking portals and gateways to the realm of God. You know, it just amazes me that as I watch these, you know, these very religious Christians, they get up there and they say, "Oh man, I heard Daniel say something about dimensions. This is weird. He's New Age, definitely not something that our body needs to be getting into right now." Really? So, you know, everything that I just said suddenly gets wiped away by the word dimension? I pray not. I pray that people are waking up in this hour and getting over this nonsense, right? A dimension is simply an extension in a given direction. And this is where dimensions really, let me explain how, because everything I've explained so far, I've explained layering of realms and heavens and all of that. But how does the word dimension actually play into this conversation? Well, it does it like this. See, a dimension is an extension in a given direction. So let's say I have a line. A line is a one-dimensional construct. It only has length. So a line has one dimension. Now, if I reduce that line to a simple point, that is a zero dimensional unit. A point has neither length nor width nor height. It actually has no extensions in a given direction. And so a point is simply a dimensionless unit. A line is a one dimensional unit. And when we get up to two dimensions, then we add length, or we add width to length. So we can create things like squares and circles and triangles. Many people have seen a two-dimensional graph with an X, Y coordinate, and you can plot things, stock trends. All kinds of graphs are done in 2D models because they're easy for the brain to process. We live in a three-dimensional world. That means that you add height to length and width. Length, width, and height create three dimensions. So height is a third extension in a given direction. That's the 3D world. But the Bible says, speaking of the love of God, that we would know what is the length and width and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. So length, width, depth, and height, that's actually four dimensions. That's four extensions in a given direction. It's very hard to create mental imagery on how this works. Those of you that are listening to this program, you can Google the term hypercube or hypersphere. There have been mathematical models created to portray four-dimensional shapes. But once you create a additional extension in a given direction beyond three dimensions, you have exited three-dimensional space and entered the spirit realm. That's where things go beyond three dimensions. It's in the spirit realm. So when you get into the conversation on the second heaven, the conversation on the third heaven, the conversation on things that are going on in this converse, you know, this area, what we are talking about is fourth dimensional activity and above. That's how dimensions play into the conversation of the heavens and realms. And so let's say I have a room that's three dimensions and I have two pieces of paper in that room, right? Those two pieces of paper, well, they represent two-dimensional planes. Well, that means that three-dimensional space can contain multiple two-dimensional planes. When we get beyond three-dimensional space and into hyperspace or four-dimensional space, believe it or not, you run into a situation where you will find the potential for multiple three-dimensional universes, solar systems, Earths, so on and so forth. It's amazing, but yet it's actually part of the creation. This is what we need to understand, because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created, formed, and fashioned the heavens and the earth. God never designed this conversation to be had in the circles of the New Age and high-level quantum physicists only. As a matter of fact, this even plays into the way God does things. Really, Daniel? How does that make sense? Well, because there are such a thing as what I would call realms of possibility. See, and this is getting into other material I get into in my book, but just to give you a little picture of how this works, you know, the Bible says, speaking of Israel in the Old Testament, when God had given them the law and he had given them all of their instructions, he said, "See, today I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live." This verse is so huge because, one, it establishes the reality that, yes, there is free choice. But two, it establishes the understanding that our choices exist before we make them. Our choices exist before we make them, because the Bible says, "See, I have set before you, in front of you, this day life and death, blessing and cursing." So decisions will allow us to step into possible manifestations of our future. The reason why God does this is because, although he knows the end from the beginning, he doesn't make our decisions for us. So in order to remain just, he actually has to create all sets of all possible circumstances. And we bring the ones into our timeline and the realm in which we exist through agreement. And those things that we choose to do and be and have. Choice is a very real part of our experience as we walk out this life, whether we do it with or without God. So God doesn't make us do evil or good. He wants us to do good, but gives us choice and allows us to choose the curse if we want to. But when we get into the conversation on higher dimensions, what we realize is that one of the reasons for parallel dimensions is to create that place and that plane where those decisions that we will have the opportunity to choose from in the future are actually prepared for us, so that as we walk things out on this timeline, we are bringing our experience into alignment with those things which God has prepared. Where does he prepare them? Well, he prepares them in the realms outside of 3D Earth. Huh. It is the perfect explanation for Scripture why in Isaiah chapter 45, you know, we see that God creates darkness and evil. I mean, you know, people say, well, why would God do that? Does that make him a bad God? Well, the answer is no. It makes him just because, well, he forms the light and creates darkness. He does that because he gives us a choice. And some people choose the darkness and the evil and cooperate with it. These are the people that partner with Satan. And so, you know, with that said, folks, where is this all going? There was a lot of conversation to be had on this subject of higher dimensions, parallel dimensions, and the spirit realm that have a very important role to play in our understanding of what we're doing with this thing we call Christianity. Or our thinking's too low. Or our thinking is very base. It's down there. It's in the pit oftentimes. We exalt situations and circumstances above God because our eyes are so fixated on the natural, we can't see the spirit. Our eyes are so fixated on the natural, we can't see the spirit. And the thing is, God needs us to see into the spirit, into the things that he has created and prepared for us, and to fixate our eyes on his perspective instead of our own. I spent a good amount of time in this upcoming book, Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions in the Spirit Realm, really cracking open this concept that we are walking portals. And what do you mean by that, Daniel? You say we're walking portals. Well, you know what a portal is? Well, Portal is a doorway or a gate, a point of entrance. And see, we see a pattern in that in the book of 1 Kings, Solomon moves to dedicate the first temple. And when they dedicate the first temple and slaughter all these animals, the priests, they go inside to perform sacrifices and to minister to the Lord. And God fills the temple with this glory cloud. See, that Holy of Holies place is where God designed an interface point between heaven and earth for his presence to manifest, the crossover point. And so, for that reason, God entered into our realm in that place, and that glory cloud was so incredible, it pushed all the priests out. They couldn't minister in the temple. And what we see there is the picture of what we are. Because we are in the New Testament, according to the finished work of Jesus Christ, the temples individually and the temple corporately of God. We are temples individually and temples corporately of God. And so as we see this picture, where we see the illustration that God's presence enters into this realm through the doorway or the gateway that was the Holy of Holies, and then pushes all the priests out of the temple so they can't worship. God designed us to be a place where his glory cloud would manifest, push out all of the sin and all of the filth and all of the darkness, all the creeps in our life, and fill us up with his presence. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ever continually filled with his spirit. So God wants us to be vessels of honor. That vessel is something that's designed to be poured into. We are established as walking portals because we are temples. Now think about that. How have you been living your life? Have you been getting your teeth kicked in by the devil? This is why we miss it, because our lives are so out of alignment with the truth of God's word, because we've had bad teaching and we've had really bad experiences that have created lie-based paradigms out of which we operate, fully thinking that we are basically maximizing our lives. Well, really, we are living so far beneath privilege, we have no idea what we're missing out on. I'm telling you, folks, like God, every week, God is blowing my mind. Blowing my mind with what is happening. I mean, and you know, the funny thing is, the testimonies that we're getting back at this point are so wild. It's almost like, how could this even be? You can't share this in a church. This is so spectacular and so awesome. You can't even share what just happened. I'm thinking of so many things right now that we have seen, and it's almost like, you know, well, how do I even break open the context to understand some of these testimonies that are just so spectacular? You know, they do this thing where, and I mentioned this on one program. They you know, we talk a lot about prostitution rings. We talk a lot about the sex slave trade on the earth. They're deceiving these young girls into getting into, you know, these sex rings, and then they're abducted and held prisoner and captive and abused and used for their sex and all of that. And you know, that's really become big. It's becoming more and more widely known that this is a big problem, and there are advocates that are beginning to stand up and say this is a problem. But you know where there's not too many advocates? There's not too many advocates for the interdimensional sex slave trade that we've uncovered. How do you uncover interdimensional sex slave trade? Well, you kind of have to understand several things, including how a person is fragmented and how some of those fragmented parts can contain spirit portions, how portals can be opened to transport people between realms and to other planets, and you know, the secret space program and how that kind of plays into all of this. We've had to rescue parts of people from prostitution temples in the heavens. And we have seen it as the angels of the Lord come in and not only set the captives free, but destroy the spirits that are in oversight of the facilities and blow up the entire facilities themselves, wherever they may exist, when we encounter them. So we walk away from seeing an entire sex slavery facility destroyed on an interdimensional plane, and you ask, well, can we share that one in the church? But the Bible says, to the intent that now to the principalities and powers might be made known the manifold wisdom of God by the church. I'm trying to get caught up with what the Word of God says. See, and this is where it is going, because that's one example. Oh, folks, I am telling you, there is so much to be said. There are ministries. There are people that listen to my program who have ministries. This is why you listen to me. You have a ministry on the inside of you that will transcend time and space. You are called and are being equipped to be a minister in the heavens. And you simply need to know why God's been leading you the way he's leading you, because you are fighting the very things he is bringing into your life that will allow you to break out of the molds that have been artificially prepared for you that you don't fit in anyway. God has something awesome in the last days. And I guarantee you, I'm not going to be the only one doing this stuff. I'm tired of being the only one that I hear. Well, maybe some of the people that work on, you know, with the Survivors Through Bride Ministries, right? When we share stories, it gets really interesting. But, you know, I'm tired of being relatively alone in some of these things. It's like, yeah, you know, we went out with these armies and we destroyed that and went over there into the heavens and into the Orion, man. You don't want to know how many times I've been over with the armies of the Lord in the Orion system, because that is a major pocket of darkness associated with a demonic group called the Ancients, which include Thoth and Isis and Horus and Osiris and all these guys that were part of ancient societies. They gave men technologies. I mean, they're still doing stuff, and we're having to deal with it now. People tied to Osiris and Isis still. We have all these people in the Middle East running, calling themselves Isis. You don't think there's a connection there to these ancients? They're hell-bent on Earth's destruction. They want to bring in their own order. They have their own plans. Folks, God needs some people that are warriors and brave and are not afraid to get out of this minuscule thinking that, oh man, I just need to survive Earth and die and then I'll be in heaven with my Lord and it'll all be over. Come on, get over yourself. God has something for you to do. I'm tired of that nonsense and that idiocracy. It's just it's so bad. This is bad. I mean, do you not understand what God is giving? I'm slamming my table right now. If I had a podium, I'd be pounding my fist. Ah, why won't somebody else get this? You know, I mean, we need to get what we are here for. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And you were ordained a prophet to the nations. God's waiting for a company of people to wake up to who they have always been. And to say, wait a minute, I'm here on assignment. There's something coming called the end of the age, and I have something very important to do and a very important role to play. And I'm tired of being bound up by nonsense and backwards thinking, philosophies based on bad theology that keep me out of my calling. You know, some of you have been stagnated because you haven't even known the context for your calling. You don't know how to walk into what God has for you because you've been trained to think in ways that oppose the very nature of the calling and assignment you've been given. And I'm here to tell you it's time to break out of that in Jesus' name. God is doing a new thing in the earth. And you know what, folks? Some of you are going to be very powerful in that. Some of you are going to have ministries that go right into the heavens. I need a vacation. Anyway. You know what? I think I've been yakking long enough. Folks, I have a book. It's called Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions, and the Spirit Realm. You might have a problem with some of the things I said in this program. Good. I challenge you to get my book, go through what I say in there, go through my scriptural proofs, and see if you really have strong reasons to argue with me, or if maybe, just maybe, God's graduating you into something new, something exciting, something that is resonating so powerfully with you, you can no longer deny it. As a matter of fact, it may be the very stepping stone that will cause you to bridge out into the places God has been calling for you to occupy. You know, one of the reasons why we're called kings is because kings occupy a territory assigned to them. Occupation has to be done with authority. Look, I'm done. Folks, you've been listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Until next week, God bless and Godspeed.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision, which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
'Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Pick up your phone and shake it to get $50 off any cocktail maker. Yes, you heard me. Shake your phone and get $50 off. Don't delay.
It's the Kia Season of New Traditions sales event. So don't just hang your own lights. Venture out and look for the Northern Lights. Drink cocoa on the beach. Or be a drive-by karaoke caroler. Because every Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So you can take holidays to places they've never been. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
See Kia dealer for warranty details. Event ends 1-2-25.